Welcome. It's time for another edition of Senior Smarts here on Classic Hits K-Wayne 106. And Senior Smarts brought to you by Benedictine Living Community in Red Wing with our continuum of care, including our renowned short-term rehab services. I'm Jack Caldwell, joined by our show co-host Debbie Bradley. And Debbie, I can't wait for today's topic. And simply the title of the topic or the vignette should stir some interest. Fire away.
Okay. Well, once again, we are reading from Reflections on Aging from Dr. Bruce Macbeth, our Red Wing author and counselor extraordinaire. This essay today is called Our Amazing Older Brain. So younger people, whatever that means, I want you to listen up too, because everybody has a brain that's functioning and growing and maturing. We've learned over however many of the past, you know, couple of decades even, that our brain doesn't even formally stop growing until about age 25, 26, 24, somewhere in there. So there's lots of latitude for our brain to change and grow and stretch. And so there's always possibility to bring it to that point of growth. But then what we can do with it from that point on in our early 20s all the way until we die, let's learn about that. Almost every day we discover more about how our brains actually work. Much of our new knowledge comes from the advanced technology that, for the first time, allows us to see into the workings of our brain. This helps us to ask better questions that guide our understanding of how our brains continue to change as we age. Before we had access to this modern technology, our best brain science models suggested that our brains were fixed, hardwired, we might now say, after the first few years of life. Later, we came to learn that our brain was more plastic than we ever had realized, and that one part of our brain could compensate for another part when necessary. I'm even going to stop it right there, because I am not a doctor, a medical degree person, whatever. I came from working in the church for however many, for 24 years before I became a chaplain in healthcare. But the fact of the matter is, what I've learned, even in this short period, 8 years working in healthcare, is changing knowledge. Is that even when I started here, they talked about how when somebody had a stroke, they used to think the person was going to be like that for the rest of their life. And then when I came to work here, they had said they really actually had like about a year or so. And now, even a change from the beginning of when I came to Benedictine, now they're even saying for some folks, there is the possibility that when somebody has a stroke, there's the possibility that their brain, like I just read there in that line, that the brain can compensate and can basically reroute to relearn tasks that we thought were gone because of a stroke. Isn't that phenomenal?
It is, yeah, certainly.
I just think that's so amazing. And so the more and more and more these researchers and doctors and scientists are learning, we are gaining the benefit from that, which I just think is absolutely phenomenal. So for people, you know, when things happen with our bodies, I know in the past I've even heard stories of people say, well, the doctor said, because they thought, well, the person will remain like this. And the individual has said, nope, I'm going to walk again, or nope, I'm going to do this again, or, you know, they're just really bullheaded or stubborn or whatever. And the thing is, that's what's served them. Because for some of those people, they have walked again or spoken again or done things that the doctors would have never dreamed of. So it seems that there's so much more in our body and consciousness that can serve us than science ever knew, but is discovering over time.
Yeah, it's that hidden stuff that, you know, people didn't really know much about. And all of a sudden, I think, is maybe medicine has evolved and certain things have evolved in that field, we found out so many new things, as you just stated.
Mm-hmm. So later, we came to learn that our brain was more plastic than we realized, and that one part of our brain could compensate for another part when necessary. This is what happened when, for example, this is funny. It's talking about exactly what I was just talking about. This, for example, when a person suffered a stroke that affected a part of the brain that controlled their capacity to speak or walk, and the control of those necessary functions would be taken over by another part. Our brains, we have learned, were far more plastic, of course not plastic, but, you know, the idea to be molded or to be reshaped, and less fixed than we had supposed. Now we've taken another step in our knowledge about how brains function. We are learning that our brains continue to develop through our lives. We see how ongoing neural growth facilitates the mature thinking that makes older brains more complex, and recognize how important new learning is to the health of our brain. To stay healthy, our older brain requires exercise just as much as our body does. What is a good exercise regimen for our brain? As with our body, stretching is important. So we ask, what stretches our brain? Exploring something new, something different from the ordinariness of everyday life does that. Adding a new skill or ability, or working to refine and further develop something we more superficially know as stretches our brain. Physical exercise also involves building and maintaining strength and endurance. Mental exercises are similar. Those that strengthen our brain engage cognitive tasks that carry some minimal level of difficulty. A lazy, always comfortable brain routine turns out to be a not healthy one over time. Our brains need to be stimulated and working to learn to stay healthy. It could be about music, gardening, dancing, or philosophizing. If the activities we choose stimulate, excite, and challenge us, our brains are receiving the exercise necessary for continuing good health. I've learned more about this, too, where they talk about somebody saying, well, I really like, let's say they learn, they love speaking another language. Well, another good thing might be to learn a whole other language, because that would be stretching. You know, we lived in a city with a very small lot, and, you know, my mom had a lot of kids, and so I think she was just too fried, too busy. And, you know, when I got up, you know, in school, I just moved to areas where I was renting, and so there wasn't a space, and it didn't dawn on me. And then when we got married, my husband has a degree in landscape architecture and botany and all that kind of stuff, so he would plant some things, but I've always loved looking at, you know, flowers in a garden, or, of course, eating anything and everything that's grown in the garden. Of course, it tastes so much better than you get from the grocery store, but it's just never been a desire for me until lately. Now I'm thinking, I want to have a garden. You know, I think that'd be really cool to see something from the beginning all the way to, you know, growth, where you put it on your table and, you know, then think about what you're going to grow the next years. I just think that's really wonderful.
And for me, Debbie, I think if I would think about something that would help my brain, probably it would be involved in the language arts. Maybe go back and refresh my German. I did take 7 years of German way back in the day, 3 in middle school, 4 in high school, maybe to refresh my knowledge of the German language. But also I'm thinking, let's say, and I'm looking at maybe retiring down in Florida. While I think it would be very beneficial if I'm retiring in Florida to learn Spanish, because a lot of people in Florida are bilingual. They speak English and speak Spanish. Chances are you're going to bump up against a lot of people who know the Spanish language. So I'm thinking, wouldn't it be beneficial for me to at least get a cursory, or at least know some introductory Spanish? Those are some things I'm thinking about even now.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talked before about, you know, what are things we'd like to do when we retire or when we get older. And I think, you know, like singing at different engagements, you know, with a small band or something would be, I think, a blast. Or art stuff, or pottery, or, I don't know, travel to different places and learn about different cultures that I don't know anything about. I think it's fascinating how people our own ages may have acted, you know, in the past, and learn about why did they do that, or how did they do that, and isn't it amazing that lives can be so different from our own, and what does that look like? So those are a number of ways that we can really stretch our brain is, number one, to be curious. What do you wonder about? And even just kind of cruise through, you know, maybe even to walk through a library when that's safe to do. I don't even know if people can go in libraries yet. But if you can just go through and just kind of even just look at titles or sections and think, oh, I wonder what that's about. And then to maybe use that as like a tipping point to get you on the path of stretching your brain in another direction.
Yeah, absolutely. We have about 30 seconds left, Debbie, if you want to close it out.
Well, I just thank our listeners for stretching their brain listening to us. You know, every single week that they decide to turn on the radio and we're there, I think I'm thankful for you guys being there. And hope you keep stretching your brain, being healthy, staying safe from the virus, washing your hands, keeping 6 feet back from other people, wearing those masks. Let's get to that herd immunity and get vaccinated. And with that, Benedictine Living Community of Red Wing is changing aging in Red Wing.
Thanks, Debbie. All right, folks, that's another edition of Senior Smarts on Classic Hits K-Wayne 106, brought to you by Benedictine Living Community in Red Wing, with our continuum of care, including our renowned short-term rehab services. We'll see you again for another show next week.